Can you imagine when God tries us? Like Job? Beautiful attitude that Job has here as he worships God. How we need to use it today for ourselves to really be spiritual people of God. No matter what you're facing today, what you're going through today, hey, learn from Job.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Today, as we return to the book of Job, Raul will urge us to honestly evaluate where we stand with God. Trusting the Lord is easy when life is smooth sailing, but when hardship hits and suffering shatters your peace, only a genuine, unwavering faith will see you through. Stay with us for encouragement to follow Job's example in looking to God in your trials. Here's Raul Reese in Job chapter 1.
Check this out. Verse 5. And so it was that when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would sin and sanctify them, and he would get up early in the morning to offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be, notice what he says, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did this when? Regularly, every day. Job had a devotional life with God for his family. You guys, listen carefully. Fathers, brothers in the Lord, if you're a male, we are responsible spiritually for our families. To pray for them, for their welfare. To get up early in the morning before we go to work, to spend time with God so that we start in the Spirit of God. God is telling us here in the book of Job that Job was a spiritual leader of his house. You know what it means? Job had a family altar. Family altar, which means what? You have family time with your wife and your children in the Lord. That's right. I am amazed at how much parents spend their time with their children in sports. Nothing wrong with it. I love sports. But when that becomes your God, then you've gone too far. Or whatever it may be that you're taking all your time in. I would challenge everybody here. When I was in seminary college, one of our professors said, you know what, if you really want to see where you are spiritually, do me a favor. Go home, get 7 blanks of paper, okay, sheets of paper, and then every day put the time you get up in the morning, every half hour, and the time that you go to bed, and in 7 days you'll know where you are spiritually. Don't cheat. Put the truth, what you do, and you'll know who you really are and what you're really doing. When we take those papers and we look at those 7 papers for 7 days, we should be more with the Lord than anything else. That will speak of our spirituality with God. Otherwise, it speaks of our carnality. That we are carnal people. Knowing that we are only here for a little while, we're going to be leaving here pretty soon. If the Lord tarries and we die, we're still going to leave this earth. And everything that you possess, everything you're working hard for, everything that you're coveting, everything that you're holding on to, guess what? When you die, you let go of everything. And everybody else gets it, and you take nothing with you. You leave it for others to spend it and misspend it, or for the government to come in and take it all. We have to be wise. And we have to come to that place where God speaks to our hearts as fathers and grandfathers, single males, When you're going to get married, to make sure you start by taking the spiritual leadership of the relationship. Not dominating. That's why in the book of Ephesians, when he talks to married people, he says, submit and love. Submit and love. Submit and love. Those are the two words. Because if a husband's loving his wife, the wife will automatically submit to her husband. Well, if we love the Lord, we're going to submit to the Lord. You see? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, the Bible says. But if you're not seeking first the kingdom of God, but you have all these other things that you're seeking, then your priorities are out of order. They're out of order. And you're going to be one frustrated person, angry person, because you're not going to walk by the Spirit of God. You're going to walk by your flesh and desire the things of the flesh. You have to make changes in your life. Job made the change in his life that he would get up every single morning before the sun would come up and he would pray for his family. He would pray for his family. Just in case my family sins, I want to take them to God for today. For God to take care of them. To God watch over them. I love it the way Job did it. He had a family altar. And then, fathers, how much time do you really spend with your children? Are you too busy? There's a statistic, it's just mind-boggling, man, that some fathers only spend like 8 minutes or 10 minutes a week with their children. That's not enough. The family is really important. The family has been separated in this generation. When young men don't have family, guess who their family becomes? The gangs become their family. They join a gang. When there's the absence of the male in the home. And all because a lot of times, yeah, you got to work. That's great. You got to make a living. But if you're trying to go and far and beyond that and become rich and taking time out of your family so you can do those things, then it's not right. Because how is God going to bless you when you're coveting instead of allowing God to do that in your life? Job made the time to be before God. And you know who hated him? Satan hates him. Hates him. And Satan hates every father and every male leader that has a spiritual altar in his home. He hates you. And he's going to come after you just like he did after Job. Look what happens now. Verse 6 now. He says, and now there was a day, we go from the earthly scene now to the heavenly scene. And now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. So here we move from the earthly to the heavenly. And what do we see? We see that Satan has to check in with God every day. Back in the book of Isaiah chapter 14 and then Ezekiel 28, you have the whole story of the actual downfall of Satan. Satan was a cherubim. He was a godly angel of God at one time. But he fell. It was Michael and Gabriel and then Lucifer or Satan. And when he was cast out of heaven, Revelations 12, 9 and 10, and one third of the angels followed him. They became the devil and his angels, the angels of darkness, fighting against God. And yet, it says in the scripture that Satan, even though he's a fallen foe, yet got in control of Satan. I love that because that tells me that Satan can't touch me unless it's by permission. And God knows how much I can handle. I love that. You're going to see that in a moment. You don't have to worry about the pressure. God will do whatever he has to do. And he'll send it by permission. And check this out. This is pretty amazing here. It says, now there was a day when the sons of God, the angels, came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, Satan, from where are you coming from? It's not that God was dumb and God's stupid. He doesn't know. God's eternal. He's omnipresent, omniscient. He knows everything. But he wants Satan to check in. He wants him to speak. Where you been? And he said, I've been going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it, I've been cruising the earth. That's where the Mexicans got it from. You see right there. Cruising up and down Whittier Boulevard. But you know what's amazing here? That here Satan is reporting. And what does he do? He cruises the earth. What does he do? Cruise the earth looking for people to do what? To do damage to. Cruising around. Because he's already checked out Job. Oh yeah, watch this. This is so amazing. Verse 8. And then the Lord said to Satan, have you ever considered my servant Job? Oh, let's stop right there for a second. This is a good word, consider. The word consider here is a military term used for a general standing on top of a hill, looking down on his enemy, strategizing, how can I get my enemy and capture him and destroy him? That's the word in Hebrew there that is used. Have you ever studied, strategize on my servant Job? Have you ever done it? Check this out. Have you ever considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on all the earth? God is bragging about Job. A blameless, upright man, one who fears God and hates evil. Can God say that about you tonight? About me? That's something to think about. He is saying to Satan, my servant Job is a blameless person. Have you ever considered or seen anybody more godly than him?
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. We'd like to take a brief time out and remind you that we are here to help you navigate life's ups and downs with the guiding strength of God's Word. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com for an abundance of resources and join Raul for Straight Talk every week on the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel. Let's continue now with the final part of our study.
Verse 9, and Satan answered and said to the Lord, listen, God, does Job really fear God for nothing? Oh, man. What do you mean? He says, God, the only reason Job loves you and serves you, look what you've given to him. I would serve you too. I would serve you too. Now, this brings in a very important point. Because if you do have a lot, now think for me for a moment, if you have a lot, and if God allows you to lose everything, including your children, will you still love God? That would be the test. Oh, yeah, watch this. Does Job really fear God for nothing? Notice Satan's accusation against Job was really attack against who? God. Because God blessed him. You see? Have you not made a hedge around him? Oh, listen, God, you put a hedge around him. I can't even get in and touch him. He's your baby. But I'll tell you what. Now, watch this. He says, you made a hedge around him, all that he has on every side, his finances, his wife, his children, everything. And you have blessed the work of his hands. His possessions have increased in the land. I mean, he has it all. But now, do me a favor. Stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Whoa. He's challenging God's word. Think if Satan says that about you or me. Are we going to be like Job? Job doesn't even know what's going on. Satan says the reason he loves you and serves you is because you've blessed him financially, man. And you protect him. I've been studying him. but you won't let me buy him. But I'll tell you what, if you do let me get to him, he will curse you to your face if you take everything away from him. And the Lord said, verse 12, to Satan. And what is it showing here? It shows us how Satan works with God, and God has to give permission for Satan to do what he has to do. Watch this. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. And Satan didn't waste no time. He went out from the presence of the Lord, man. He wasted no time. Thank you very much. See you later. He is out of there, man. Out of there. Happy. Yeah, I get to get Job now. Imagine that. From one day to the other. Here is Job, happy, family, I mean, everything that money could buy, enjoying himself. And then here comes the storm clouds. Not one, two, three, four, but I'm talking about immediately in one day, everything will be lost. One day, everything. Check this out. Verse 13. And now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house, so they were partying in their house. And a messenger came to Job and said, Job, the oxen were plowing and donkeys feeding beside them. And when the Sabaeans were part of Arabia, they were Arabians. They're from the tribe of Shem, raided them and took them away. Indeed, they had killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you, Job, they're gone. There's no more servants. And as he's talking, all of a sudden, man, here comes somebody else running. Verse 16, and while he's still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep. The servants consumed them, and I alone have escaped. Uh-oh, there goes his finances. And as he's talking, here comes another one. Oh, man. You ever have a day like that? I haven't. Imagine sitting tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. You don't even get to take another breath. There it comes again. Verse 17. And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans, the Babylonians formed three bands, raided the camels, took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Verse 18. And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in the older brother's house, and suddenly a tornado came out and killed them all. Whoa. Now who is he touching? His family. All his sons and daughters are gone. In 1 hour, he's lost everything. Everything. Check this out. And suddenly a great wind came out from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they all died. And I alone have escaped to tell you. And check this out, verse 20. And when Job got up, what's the first thing he did? He tore his clothes, his robe. He shaved his head, and he fell on the ground. And he, what? Worshiped the Lord. Mark that scripture the next time you go through something. Instead of cursing God, you better worship God. God's allowed it. In one day, Job, stripped of his wealth, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, 3,000 camels, 7,000 sheep, 10 of his children are killed. And Job, number one, notice his fidelity. He stands up, tears his actual robe, shaves his head, because it's a sign of mourning, and he falls to the ground and he begins to worship the Lord. Worships God. And what does he say? Verse 21. And then he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Interesting. Interesting. Number one, he looks at his birth. Number two, he looks ahead to his death. Number three, he looks up and utters a magnificent statement of faith here, as we see. And then in verse 22, here's the most amazing statement. And in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God wrongfully. God, he said what? God's in control of my life. I'm going to worship him. I don't have any more children. I don't have any more flocks. I've lost everything, but I still got the Lord. The most important thing. Can you imagine when God tries us? Like Job? Beautiful attitude that Job has here as he worships God. How we need to use it today for ourselves to really be spiritual people of God. No matter what you're facing today, what you're going through today, hey, learn from Job that God's allowing this to happen. Remember in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, real quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Listen to what Paul says. This is beautiful, beautiful scripture. 10:13, listen what he says. He says this, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to men, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with every temptation he will make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Wow, underline that. Keep that in your hearts. Every temptation, God will make a way of escape. If God permits it, he'll bail you out of it. But you got to trust him. And sometimes, like Job, to the point he lost everything materially, including his own sons and daughters. And yet it said what? In all this did not Job sin, nor charge God wrongfully in any way. Imagine that. God's in control, not Satan. And God is in control of who? Satan. You see? He holds him back.
Well, if you're listening today and you're going through a difficult season and don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, it's our sincere prayer that you'll turn to him for the strength and hope that only he can provide. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. For a donation of $5 or more, we'll send you an unedited version of today's teaching. Just call us at 800-634-9165 and request part two of Rawls' teaching from Job chapter 1. Now, as you consider the life-changing decision to entrust your life to God, we'd like to tell you about Rawls' 9-part series titled When Trials Come. It's available on CD and flash drive. Delving more deeply into the book of Job, this resource underscores how you can find rest even in the strongest storms when you choose to put your faith in a good and sovereign God. To order Rawls' 9-message study, When Trials Come, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. We'll send you the CD set for $23 or the thumb drive for just $13. That's 800-634-9165. Or write to Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Be sure to take advantage of all of our free resources. They're easy to access anytime, anywhere. You'll find podcasts of all of these radio programs on iTunes and Spotify, and our app will link you to Scripture with live-streamed Bible teaching and digital Bible studies. Also, Rawls' devotional emails provide a daily boost from God's Word. It only takes a minute to subscribe when you visit SomebodyLovesYou.com. This ministry is completely listener-supported, and we are so grateful for every tax-deductible gift. They enable us to take the gospel to more and more people every single day. Join us again next time as we continue this series with a look at Job's powerful example of faith-filled worship in the face of adversity. You'll see that while he certainly experienced anguish and doubt, ultimately Job chose to trust in the sovereign control of God. Now, with the final thought, here's Raul once again.
And if there's anybody here tonight they would like to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. The first issue is sin. You've sinned against God. Secondly, you can repent of all of your sins and confess them to Him. And then you can come by faith and put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ and accept Him into your heart. And He will write your name in the book of life. And He'll cast your sins as far as to the east of the west, bury them in the deepest part of the ocean, and He'll wash them by His blood and remember them never again. And then He'll give you eternal life, that if you were to die, you would go to heaven. That's what the Bible teaches.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.